The following service was recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church in Rock Springs, Wyoming, on Sunday, August 6, 2017, with Reverend Jimmy Krishan.
Good morning to all. I'd like to welcome you to worship here this morning. It's great for me to be home again and great to be here in the house of the Lord. Let us pray. Father, lead us in our worship, that all that we do might be undertaken at your bidding, filled with your grace, directed by your wisdom, informed by your truth, and accomplished to your glory. Through Christ our Lord. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia, give thanks to God. scripture reading is from Romans 9, 1-5. I am speaking the truth in Christ. I am not lying. My conscience confirms it by the Holy Spirit. I have great sorrow and unceasing anguish in my heart, for I could wish that I myself were accused and cut off from Christ for the sake of my own people, my kindred according to the flesh. They are Israelites, and to them belong the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the worship, and the promises. To them belong the patriarchs, and from them, according to the flesh, comes the Messiah, who is over all. God blessed forever. Amen. The word of God for the people of God.
We continue our trip in the book of Romans this morning, picking up in chapter 9. And I want to begin this with asking you a question. I noticed when we moved out to Wyoming, you folks are fiercely independent. And you don't like to be told what to do. But you know what? You're not unique in that aspect. How many of you enjoy being told what you will do? Come on. You know you really like to be. Nobody likes that. I'm going to tell you a little personal thing. I'm a grown man of some many years and some experience, and I hate to be told I have to wear a seatbelt. It bothers me. The whole time it's on, I'm pulling at this thing, I'm moving. Anybody else have that problem? Sometimes I just forget to put it on. Not really, I just don't. And then that woman in my dash, she starts on me. Ting, 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 ting. And she won't quit. You know? I wonder why they put a woman in there to do that. Anyway, you're supposed to laugh, or am I in trouble? You know, but I want to ask you a question. What if your experience with that seatbelt was quite different? What if you or somebody you know had been saved in a horrible car accident from having been wearing their seatbelt? What if you went and saw the mangled, destroyed accident havoc and heard the EMS people and the emergency people who treated the injuries, though not life-threatening? What if you heard them say it was just the seatbelt? Would that change your opinion of the seatbelt? Sure. What if that were you? Now get this, what if it were you that was saved by that seatbelt? Would you have a little more surety of fastening up the next time? I bet we would, wouldn't we? You know, it seems that that experience kind of changes our experiences prior, right? So now let me ask you a question. I want you to use your imagination for a little bit. I know it's hard for some, but go with it here. Let's say that you know somebody so dear to you, and you love them so much. Picture an aunt, an uncle, a brother, sister, son, daughter. Picture somebody you love right now. Now close your eyes. Picture them in your heart and in your mind. Now imagine for a moment that you have been saved by that seatbelt. Had it not been for that seatbelt, you would have perished. Got that little picture going on? Now let's say that the Spirit of God intervenes and reveals to you this person that you love is going to be in a horrible head-on car accident 15 minutes after they leave your house. But if they'll wear their seatbelt, they will be saved. Picture that. And God impresses upon you to tell them. But they won't listen. They won't wear it. They won't buckle up. You've told them. You've lived through it. You're convinced of God of it. but they won't listen. What would you do? How far would you go to see that loved one wearing that seatbelt? To receive that safety? To see them saved? You'd open your eyes. Here we arrive with Paul. Paul has the steep Jewish tradition. He knows that the promises of God from Genesis through to where Paul is at. Remember, Revelation isn't written yet. So Paul is saying to his brothers and sisters, I tell you the truth. Christ, don't get that up. Get your pencil out and a piece of paper, something to take a note on. Your bulletin is handy for this because I want you to do something, and I wished I'd brought my flip chart so I could do this with you. But I want you to write down three words. Three words. These are important, and this is important. So I'm going to give you a minute to get that pencil and paper out because you need this. This is important. If you don't have a pencil or pen, find one. This is really, really important for you as a Christian to understand something. The first word to put on your paper is Jesus. J-E-S-U-S. Jesus. Space. The word the. T-H-E. The word the. And I'm spelling that because of my southernism. You might not hear exactly what I'm saying. The. And then in a capital C, Christ. Jesus, the Christ. Christ isn't his last name. Jesus was a Jew. Jews got one name. One, Jesus. Yahweh. One name. The rest were titles. The rest were connections to family. If you read your Bible, you'll see, and it was so-and-so, the son of, the son of, the son of. They got one name. Jesus is his name. Got that one? The Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, the Redeemer title. So the next time you read it in your Bible, it says Jesus Christ. Stick the in there. That's important. That isn't his last name because that connects us to the promises of which Paul references here. Jesus is the Messiah. Jesus has come to save the lost house of Israel. Jesus has come to save humanity, to fulfill the promise of God to Abraham in Genesis 12. And through you, all the nations of the earth will be blessed. Jesus is the fulfillment of the promises. Why is that important to you and I? Can we trust God? How do we know we can trust God? He keeps his promises. Over 1,300 promises of the Messiah are found in the Old Testament, and Jesus fulfilled them, each and every one. Each and every one. Paul is saying to his Jewish brothers and sisters, the Israelites. Oh, wait a minute. Here's you something else to write down. Israel, this is your word. You can put under there because this is important too. Okay, Jesus was a Jew. Our salvation is of the Jewish tradition, of the Jewish heritage, and I think it's appropriate for us to know this. The name Israel, do you know what it means? Where did it come from? When did they get this name Israel? They got it from a fella down at the river. He was having a fight, and his name was Jacob. And he was down at the river forks where they crossed the river at a place called Jabbok. And Jacob was fighting with who all night? Somebody, come on. An angel of God. And he was fighting with him. And what was going on? He wanted that angel to bless him, right? How many times do you think you're going to get a blessing from somebody you're in a fight with? I mean, he's down here wallowing with this angel of God, actually God, and it's almost sun up, and the angel's got to go, and he won't let him go. And finally, he whops Jacob in the hip, dislocates his hip, and he still won't let go. And he finally says, okay, I'm going to give you a blessing, and he changed his name. He wouldn't be known as Jacob anymore. He would be known as Israel. Do you know what Israel means? One who strives or struggles with God. Chapter 7, Romans. Paul said, I struggle with God. I strive with God. I have this conflict between the spirit and the flesh. So I guess we could be Israelites. Well, maybe I am anyway. Anybody else struggle with God? Strive with God? How many of you feel God calling you to do something but you don't want to? Not going to raise any hands, huh? Okay. How many of us have friends and family, co-workers and others, and we see them struggling with this? We see them struggling with where they are in this journey called faith. How many of us know people who haven't accepted Jesus as the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Savior? Paul is filled with sorrow. Do you see that in verse 2 and 3? His sorrow is great. The sermon's entitled Sorrow. Sorrow. He is brokenhearted. Paul is like us, I would hope, with the seatbelt. I don't know about you, but I think I would go put the seatbelt on that loved one, and I would stuff a quarter down in it so they couldn't get it loose. The only way to get out of it is to cut themselves out of it. Maybe you could crawl up out of it, but that'd be hard to do. They would have that seatbelt on before they left, or they wouldn't be leaving. That's Paul. Paul says, I'm willing to give up even my own redemption if Israel would come to God. Paul sounds like an Old Testament prophet, doesn't he? He sounds like the prophets of old who said, come back to God, come back to God, come back to God, come back to the relationship, not the law, come back to the spirit of the law, not the problems, but to come back to the promises, to come back to the hope, to come back to the redemption, to come back to that relationship. And that's what Christ calls us to today, is to come back to God, repent of our sins, be saved, come back and know the promises of Christ with us, the promise of the Holy Spirit. And Paul's saying, Jesus is the Messiah, Israel, please, please, please accept the Messiah. But they have a choice. There's always two. They can accept him as the Messiah or reject him. And many Jews, remember that first sermon, 2,000 people plus got saved, and they were all Jews of Peter and Acts. All Jews don't believe that Jesus isn't the Messiah. Some do. But maybe more importantly this morning, do we believe he's the Messiah, the Christ, our Savior, our Redeemer? Now you've got Jesus, the Christ, written down. You've got Israel written down, strives with God, struggles with God. Here's you one more. Jesus, the Christ, is Lord. Jesus, the Christ, is Lord. He is the Son of God. His name is Jesus. He is the Christ, the Savior, the fulfiller of the promises, but he's also and must be Lord of our life. Paul had forsaken everything to follow Jesus, the Christ, to be Lord of his life. How far would you go to save that loved one from that horrible accident that will occur? Paul was willing to give it up, everything, that Israel would not be lost. Do we have that same conviction for others in our very own families and communities who don't know Jesus as Lord? For what they're going to endure is far worse than a terrible accident. in a car? Do we have that same conviction? That same conviction that Paul has, that Jesus is Christ, and that's the way it is? Are we convicted of that in our own hearts and lives, that we could tell others about it? I was doing some statistical research. How many of you know the median age of people in Rock Springs? Anybody know what the average age is here? Come on, somebody's done something. 34, you're close, really close. 31.78. Do you know what another statistic is in Rock Springs? We have a large Mormon population, right? Yeah. Do you realize that over 60% of the city of Rock Springs, inhabitants of Rock Springs, claim to be non-believing people? Period. 60%, church, that's a lot of people. We got room to seat some of them, don't we? That means there's a good chance that somebody you're going to meet this week don't know Jesus, has no faith, and hasn't heard the message. 60%, a little more, claim no Christian or faith affiliation. You don't look surprised. I guess maybe I grew up in the Bible Belt too long. The inverse was true. Maybe it's not now. Do we have a conviction in our hearts for those people to hear the message? To put on the seatbelt? To be saved from that which is coming? If Jesus is your Christ, He must be your Lord. And He calls us to fulfill the Great Commission, to do what Paul is doing here, and that's to intercede. He calls us to tell people about Jesus, to call them back into that relationship, not into legalism, but into that relationship of grace and love that is in Christ Jesus. Today is our first Sunday of the month, and we'll observe communion. This is a great place and time to invite people to come and join you at church. By the way, if you invite people to come, you should be here too. You know, it kind of looks bad if you're going to invite somebody coming and you're not here when they get here. And sometimes that happens, but maybe you don't know they're coming or whatever. But you might ought to check out those dates. But the first Sunday is a good time to invite someone. And I want to encourage you, school's going to start back and all of that stuff. The first Sunday in September, invite somebody as your guest to come to church and come with you to communion. Do you know a lot of people haven't received communion in many years? Maybe ever. But our table is open. You don't have to be a member of the church. You don't have to profess a membership in some faith denomination. This is Christ's table. There wasn't one when He had the first one. There wasn't a denomination. All are welcome. Wesley called it, and you'll see the note in your back of your bulletin, about a holy mystery and God at work. It's a good time to invite somebody. They don't have to be struggling with stuff. Just invite them. Sometimes that's all it takes, is a personal invitation to get somebody to come. If they start telling you all this stuff, I don't have to go to church to be a Christian, pray for them. Because as a Christian, they should want to come. Not have to come. There's a difference. Do we have Paul's conviction this morning? For the people we know and love, have we had that experience that Paul had in the saving moment of Christ on the road to Damascus that took Saul of Tarsus into Paul, the evangelist, the apostle? You see, maybe we haven't had that seatbelt experience. Maybe we need to ask God, show it to us. So we have that concern and conviction to share Christ with others. Amen. Heads bowed and eyes closed for just a minute. Our gracious and loving God, may we have that seatbelt experience, that life-changing moment with you. And may it instill in us a call upon our lives to share the good news that others may be saved. Father, instill in us as a church a conviction to reach out to the last, the least, and the lost. To reach out in love and compassion and mercy, not in judgmentalism or legalism, but in grace. Not afraid to call sin, sin, but to love the sinner. To call them from that into something new, refreshing, and life-giving, life-sustaining, that they would find your peace. Hear our hearts this morning as we prepare them to come to your table. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Rescue the perishing, care for the dying, snatch them in pity from sin and the grave. We bore the erring ones, lift up the fallen, tell them of Jesus the mighty to save. Rescue the perishing. Duty demands it. Strength for the labor the Lord will provide. Back to the narrow way, patiently win them. Tell the poor wanderer a Savior has died. Rescue the perishing, care for the dying. Jesus is merciful.
Now may we go to serve, to share, love and grace, the call of Christ, to be that voice that calls into the wilderness, to be that one who cares enough to share in truth and grace. May you go empowered, emboldened by the Holy Spirit to serve, and may that peace of God sustain you, strengthen you, truly. May you know His presence as you share His peace. And now, may you go in that peace, which is Christ's peace with you. In the name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen.
You have been listening to a worship service recorded live at Rock Springs First United Methodist Church. Our pastor is Reverend Jimmy Krishan. Our church is located at 1515 Edgar Street in Rock Springs, Wyoming. You may call us at 307-362-5334. Please note our email address, which has changed recently, rsfumc@sweetwaterhsa.com. Visit our website at rocksprings.umc.org for more information about our congregation, our ministries, or upcoming events. Audio copies of this sermon are also available on the website. We invite you to join us for worship on Sunday mornings at 10:30 a.m.